8:42, Monty in the morning on 1580, 99.3 The Fanatic. Arizona's new home for sports. A little breaking Diamondbacks news. We've been telling you for about the last 10 days that the Cardinals have been interested in Paul Goldschmidt. MLB Network reporting that the Diamondbacks and Cardinals are having discussions about a trade for Paul Goldschmidt. We'll keep you up to date on that. Been hyping it all morning long. Dan Marley, head coach of the GCU Lopes, with a huge game at the Colangelo Classic on Sunday. Coach, good morning. First, I want to start with that win over Boise. You said it was an important game last week. I would imagine that you're pretty happy with the way you guys came out of that.
Yeah, it was a very important game, especially when you look at what we have coming up with Nevada at the Talking Stick, and then we're traveling and playing Texas at Northern Iowa, and then we have a home game against Mississippi Valley State and then at University of San Diego. So obviously we want to win all our home games, and I knew Boise State, even though their record didn't show it, was a very, very talented team. They're well-coached, talented at all aspects of their roster and their lineup, and you know, we started off really slow and we battled back, and it was just one of those great team wins and in front of an unbelievable crowd again. So it's very satisfying for our guys to work hard and find a way to win that game. It wasn't pretty, but man, it was an exciting game and it was a good result.
You're tied at 63 late. What are at that point in the game, with how the game's gone and how you guys are playing, what, for you, Dan, on the sideline, what is going through your mind when you're tied at 63 there?
Well, you just want to, you know, get the ball. And, you know, Alessandro hadn't played a whole lot and, you know, was kind of struggling. But him being our best offensive player, a guy that a really good free throw shooter, a guy that can score in the post, can stretch the floor. As a coach, you always want to put the ball in one of your best players' hands and let him make a play. And we were able to do that. You know, ran a play and Ollie backed down his guy and took his time and no double team and made a nice baseline move and hit the little bank shot down in the post to put us up and found a way to win. So as a coach, you always want to try to get your best players the ball at the end, especially a guy like Ollie who's got you know, a good size, can stretch the floor, and also a really good free throw shooter.
Well, and I would imagine you were pretty happy. Now, Trey split, but I got to imagine you were pretty happy with the way you guys shot free throws at the end.
Well, it was all right. You know, we've been a really good free throw shooting team all year long, and we didn't shoot them well at all in that game. Oscar was 1-for-5. Trey, you know, went 1-for-2 to give us a 2-point lead. So, you know, you'd rather have him to, you know, our plan was for him to make both with about 5 or 6 seconds left and have them inbound the ball and let them get across half court and then foul so they can't get up a 3-pointer. It's a tough way to lose a game. So after that, just making two, you just got to do the best you can. And, you know, we had our best defensive lineup in there and kind of switch, and we did a good job where the guy drove to the basket and not only did he make it, but he got it off after the buzzer. So as you said, it was a satisfying win and one of those wins where you know, it provides dividends because we've lost some close ones, so to be able to win a home game like that was great.
Yeah, and talking to Dan Marley, GCU Hoops here every Tuesday morning, Monty in the morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic. You know, we are your home for GCU basketball. I think one of the interesting things about basketball in particular is that a 2-point lead is not nearly as good as a 3-point lead in a lot of situations, and you miss one free throw. Over the course of a season, I think it's plays like that that do you have to learn from those? Do those situations make you better? Because obviously you guys stepped up on defense, but those are tight situations where one free throw can make a big difference.
It is, and especially when you know you don't have a timeout. So that's something you have to hopefully have practiced throughout the year and have great communication with your players. You know, as I said, I'd called Matt Jackson over and I said, when Trey makes both these free throws, you know, just convey to the rest of the guys that we're going to foul when they cross half court. And then he missed the first one, and then I told Matt, now we're just in our five, which is our switching defense, and just got to guard and make him make a basket without fouling him, obviously, and make him make a tough two, and obviously no threes. So I thought our guys did a really good job of that, of concentrating and getting down. And as you said, it's a lot of games come down to that, and it's whether you can execute or not. And we were able to execute in this instance and won the game.
So what do you need to do to beat Nevada? Because that's a very good team right now. They're sixth. Michigan jumps over them. They drop them from 5 to 6. So what do they look like, and what are you going to have to do to win that game?
Well, they're obviously very talented. You got a lot of guys who are same size, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", who really stretch the floor, attack you on offense, put the ball on the floor one-on-one, good rebounding team, switch a lot on defense. So we're going to have to do a really good job of dribble penetration, not allowing guys to get beat where we have to help and where they can get threes and allow them just one shot and rebound. And then on the other end, it really comes down to us just executing offensively and making shots. It really becomes that simple, because we've been able to get shots, and we haven't shot the ball as well as we'd like to yet this year. And we got to be able to throw the ball into Ollie and have him go to work down there if they double team, which I doubt that they will with their size. He's got to be able to score, and then other guys have to step up. We talk about it all the time. In these kind of situations, your best players have to be your best players, and other guys have to step up. But for us to beat Nevada, they are a very good team. We're going to have to play a really good game and offensively make a lot of shots.
Can you coach a guy to step up? Isn't that an intangible?
It's like I said, it's good players play good, and those are the type of players that rise to the occasion on evenings like on Sunday. So you coach every day. You coach every player 1 through 13 on your roster, but there's a reason why your best players are the best players. They're usually have a high IQ. They're very talented. They can do different things, and when you look at college basketball, you look at pro basketball, whatever, those guys step up and make baskets, and that's what our guys are going to have to do. And when I talk about those guys, it's going to have to be a guy like Ollie, and you know, Oscar, who's had a down year so far, played better at Boise State. He's going to have to be able to make some shots, and then Michael's got a feed off of Ollie, and then our two point guards. I think they've both done a good job this year. Damari coming off the bench and providing a spark, and Trey, after coming from a Division II program and being a two guard his whole life, has really started to play well at the one. But both those guys are going to have to handle pressure and make an open shot.
Hey, Dan Marley, GCU Hoops, is on Monty in the Morning. Before I let you go, talk to me about the importance of the Colangelo Classic. I mean, four really quality teams on Sunday. How important is this for GCU, but also hoops in the Valley and hoops in the state?
Well, it's awesome. You got three top 10 teams playing, and we've been lucky enough to play at Talking Stick the last couple of years. And what I'm proud of, and what we've been able to do here at GCU in six short years, is I believe that we can play with anybody, and we've proven that. You know, we go into the Wooden Classic and we play a very good Seton Hall team, and which is a really good Big East team, and we have a chance to win with 30 seconds to go. We're actually up in that game, and same thing with Utah. We fight back, and so, you know, we just want to continue to get better, and our ultimate goal is to win the WAC and to be a top 25 team. And there's got to be some patience. I know there isn't patience, and that's why I took this job, but we've just been here for 6 years now, and we continue to get better, and this will give us another chance to play against a top-rated team that's very, very talented. And I'm just looking for our guys to go out and accept the challenge, which they've done pretty much the last 3 years. You know, we've been able to stick with anybody in the country, and I expect our guys to play really hard and take advantage of it, and they're going to be excited to play against a team like that, especially in the Suns arena. So I think it'll be a good matchup, and then the Gonzaga-Tennessee game is going to be unbelievable. Both those teams, Gonzaga's obviously at number one, is really good, and Rick Barnes, the coach at Tennessee, has got that team playing really well. So that's going to be an unbelievable doubleheader down at downtown Phoenix in college basketball. That's going to be about as good as you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, love every minute of it. Appreciate you always coming on the show on Tuesday. Look forward to talking to you next week, Coach.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. That's Dan Marley, the head coach, GCU men's basketball, in what is going to be a thrilling game against Nevada. It tips off 3:30, and of course, you're going to hear it right here on your home for GCU basketball, 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic.